It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome, welcome to Money for Lunch. All week, we are been talking about expanding. What do you call it? Leveraging your time by offering digital products or downloadable products to your prospects, right? To your clients. It's a great way to build relationships, to create added revenue streams. It's a great way to give your clients a bonus. There's so many ways that you can do that. For example, you could give away a free report as a prospecting tool, or maybe a free video course. It doesn't have to be long, two or three videos and a PDF handout. You could easily sell that for $30 or $40 or $50, but you could also give it away as a bonus. You could also give it away as a thank you gift to one of your prospects. If you create a downloadable digital product and it makes you just $10,000 a year, what would you do with that extra money? And to put that in perspective, in order for you to make an extra $10,000 or $20,000 a year from an asset, let's say cash, you'd have to have $100,000 in the bank earning 10% interest to make that kind of return. With a digital product, if it makes you $10,000 a year, let's say it takes you 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 hours to create, but now it makes you $10,000 a year every year, that's a huge asset. If it makes you $20,000 or $30,000 a year, that's even bigger. How many assets like that would you need to create in order to replace your active income? Most people can replace 100% of their income with just four products. Some people have done it with one. Think about that. All right. Well, listen, speaking of prospecting, my first guest is Belton Showell. Belton is a dynamic, nationally recognized speaker, trainer, published author, and business consultant. He speaks to, teaches, and trains clients all over the United States and the Caribbean, encouraging them to transform their thinking to move their professional and personal performance from good to great. Belton launched his company, Strategic Solutions, to share his sales, service, and leadership knowledge with businesses around the world. His first book, Prospecting, The Key to Your Future Success, hit the market in 2010 and quickly became a best-selling book in demand. Belton Showell, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm honored that you've given me some opportunity to be on your show today.
You bet, you bet. You know what, and I love the book. To me, it's a great title because it says it all, Prospecting, the Key to Your Future Success. So many people get into business and they really forget how important prospecting is.
Absolutely. Well, it's a foundation for everything, and
yes,
it is the beginning and the pretty much the beginning and the end to every aspect of business.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's so funny too, and you can look at prospecting too in other areas, because without prospecting in a social circle, you're not going to get any dates. You know, you have to go out there and prospect to get dates to get married. Let me ask you this, and we'll come back to prospecting. Tell us a little bit about your journey, from where you were to where you are now. Tell us maybe some of your most rewarding aspects of your journey, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started my career back in the 80s in the hospitality industry with one of the major hotel chains, and I started as a trainee and learned the aspects of the hospitality industry from a service standpoint, all the way up into the sales and marketing arena. Started as in operations, then ended up as a sales manager for about 5 years, and then became a director of sales and ultimately a director of sales and marketing of multiple hotels across the country. And, you know, as a salesperson, prospecting became a viable part of every day. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that when you mention the word prospecting to a salesperson, many of them break out in a rash or a cold sweat, or they get the shakes because it's like a bad word. And in reality, it's the lifeline to their success. And it's really an attitude that has to extend beyond just your work environment, as you alluded to. When you met your current significant other or ultimately your spouse, you were on a prospecting mission to find that someone, to find that person that fit into your world, into your life, and ultimately into your hopes, dreams, and goals. So the question that I ask every entrepreneur at the outset when I get in front of them on stage is, I want you to think of something. Who is your best customer and why?
That to me is a great starting point.
Yeah, I get an answer that is strictly an emotional answer. It's an answer because everybody wants to feel included. Everybody wants to feel liked and loved. And they respond to me by saying, well, it's Bert, because when I call, Bert's very happy. He talks to me. He returns my call. He answers my letters. He's really a great guy. And that's wonderful, but that doesn't pay the bills. Unless Bert's cutting you or writing you a check every couple of weeks, Bert is a good customer, but he's not your best customer. There are four things that your best customer gives you. One is revenue. Number two is reoccurring transactions. Your best customers work with you more recently than most. And your best customer buys multiple products from you. You know, you opened your series talking about creating a product that has the ability to sell while you're asleep, a digital product, an electronic product. Your best customer purchases that product and others like it. So when we talk about prospecting, once you've identified who your best customer is and you understand why they are your best customer based on information that is quantitative and qualitative, then you can say, okay, this is my best customer and here's why. Who else do I know that looks like, tastes like, smells like this particular person? They become a part of your prospecting network. They become a part of your network. And I've heard it say that your network will determine your net worth. Well, it's those individuals that you spend the most time with that are going to return the greatest amount of revenue and the greatest reward on the investment of your time, because the greatest asset you have is time.
Right.
So how do you spend your time and who do you spend your time with? Those are the things and the keys to prospecting that are the most significant and important. Excuse me. Many people, you know, when I first started in the hospitality industry, I have to tell you a little bit of a story. And I started in sales. It was before the computer age. And we had the encyclopedias of corporations and associations. And you got these big, thick, heavy books, and you put them on your desk, and you started opening them up, highlighting different customers, and just started calling people randomly.
Right.
There was no real reason for why you were calling them. You just wanted to call somebody. Well, times have changed. We've got a lot of different things that are now in play. Number one, the selling process itself has totally changed. Most customers have a good idea of what they want before they will engage you. And number two, if they're not interested in you, they probably won't talk to you. They'll send you an email. They'll send you a text. Mm. They'll communicate with you through social media until you have earned the right to have a verbal or personal conversation with them. So how do we break through that vast wasteland? We have to understand who our best customer is, why, and once we've identified them, look for other customers that are in the same industry, that have the same
right.
characteristics, the same buying habits, the same need for what it is we're selling. Because if we can create a sense of need from a customer, we can now graduate from inception to involvement. Now,
yeah,
that's a long way to answer one question.
Well, that's all the time we have now. No, I'm just kidding. You know, what's interesting is, you know, you talk about, in one aspect, you're right, the whole selling, prospecting thing has changed. But at the core, I think it stayed the same, meaning it's still about building that relationship of trust before they'll buy from you. I think that today, more than any time, what I've noticed is that getting that first sale is very difficult. But once they buy from you, if you're smart, they'll buy a second time. They'll buy a third time.
Yes.
They'll buy a fourth time.
Yes.
It, you know, and again, this is assuming that you're creating a product that is, you know, value and you're giving, providing all the other, you know, requirements, good customer service and stuff like that. But you're right. It's very difficult. I think it's more challenging, you know, than it's ever been in a lot of ways as far as, what do you call it? Prospecting and making that first sale. We're so bombarded. And as you mentioned, there's so many ways for our customer to tell us no. Text, email, you know, there's just, what do you call it? Anyway, so even though we have all this technology, bottom line is you still got to build that relationship. They still have to trust you before they're going to pay you, give you any money.
Well, sales is all about trust. Sales is all about reputation, trust, and confidence. And, you know, it's interesting. There's so much parity in the industry amongst products. People can purchase something that may not be exactly the same as what you are selling, but it may be very similar and it may satisfy them initially. The difference is people do business with their friends and people that they feel comfortable with. And as salespeople and business professionals, we have to crack the code, so to speak, of becoming that trusted advisor. And once we get into the point of being a trusted advisor, none of our competitors will ever be able to unseat us with a fly-by-night or flash-in-the-pan product. Why? Because our customer will come to us prior to spending their money and ask us, what do you think about that? Now, I will say this. We should never downplay or speak adversely about our competitor, but what we should do with our customers is tell them why what we're offering to them is superior in the ways that it is superior to whatever else they're looking for.
Right.
I want to mention something that is very, very important and very powerful as we talk about trusted advisor. Entrepreneurs and sales professionals make the biggest mistake that they can make is to get into a transactional mode. What do I mean by that? We're chasing the dollar versus establishing the relationship. If you've identified this customer as having the potential to work with you and being in the realm of your best customer arena, stop chasing the dollar and start developing the relationship, because you know the dollar is there, but they're not going to stroke the check until they feel comfortable with you. I've never signed a contract with an account. I've always signed contracts with people, And people have an emotional sense of who they are, who you are, and what they want. You know, I talked about being a director of sales and marketing. And one of the things, if you go, if you, one of your audience people want to go to my website, we took an office a few years back of 42 salespeople. The office was generating $24 million a year for the company. They were handling 18,000 active accounts with 42 salespeople. Think about that, 18,000 active accounts. I mean, it was absolutely amazing.
With 18,000 accounts with how many people? 42?
Absolutely incredibly ineffective. Now, but they were generating $24 million for the company, and everybody was happy. We sat down, a gentleman that I worked with many years ago who's a very, very good friend of mine, and I refer to him somewhat as a genius. His name is Greg Adams. And he developed an algorithm based on the four components that I gave you, a derivative of those components a few minutes ago. We reduced those 18,000 active accounts down to 4,200 contacts. These were the contacts we stripped out of those 18,000 active accounts, the cream of the crop, because we said to them, these people have the greatest revenue potential. They have the ability to do business with us on a regular basis. They've already been doing business with us based on a certain parameter of time, and they have the ability to buy multiple products for us. And we took those contacts and distributed them amongst the salespeople, and each of them only handled 100 contacts. Now, I don't know if you know anything about sales. Well, you know about sales, and you were probably a salesperson before, and many of the people on the line are probably former salespeople. If you're handling 18,000 active accounts, and there's 42 salespeople, the average salesperson was handling about 425 accounts. I'm going to take your 425 accounts away from you and give you 100 contacts. Some of the contacts are with the same company or association. Once they got up off the floor and they got over the sense of loss of the sheer number of accounts, they got to work and they started making calls and they started developing and building relationships with these customers. They started, and what happened was they recognized and realized that the people that they were spending their time with had the ability to generate revenue, had the ability to work with them, and wanted to be developed into the best customers that we had. To make a long story short, if I can, that office in less than 5 years went from $24 million a year in revenue for the company to $98 million.
Wow.
The exponential growth was amazing. Why? Because we were now fishing where the fish were. The key to prospecting is understanding who your target audience is and going after them with a vengeance to win the right to become their trusted advisor.
And I like that phrase, win the right, win the right. And Belton, we're going to end on that note. We're out of time for this segment, but I want to thank you so much for stopping by. I would love to bring you back and talk some more. Belton,
my pleasure.
Showell, thank you so much for stopping by today.
All right. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
All righty. Good stuff there from Belton Showell, dynamic business consultant there, speaker. And I just love that what he's there. We have to earn the right to become their trusted advisor. It doesn't happen without time and building that relationship. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
Welcome
we'll be
back,
right back
to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, What if I told you I only use one hand?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right. We are back. My next guest, Frank M. DiBettinetto, has spent the past two decades passionately helping business owners navigate the complex world of technology. He is the president and chief technology advisor for Two River Technology Group, a technology solution provider located in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. He's also the mastermind behind the Audit Sales Presentation System, a sales tool designed to elevate the quality of IT solutions delivered to small and mid-sized businesses to help MSPs sell higher value IT solutions. Frank M. DiBenedetto, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for having me.
You bet, you bet. So you know what, this is great because your area of expertise is the marketing and the selling of IT solutions, correct?
Correct, absolutely.
So let's talk about this. You're a big proponent of not trying to sell IT solutions based just on raw data and logic. Talk about this.
Yeah, so, you know, I could talk from firsthand experience. I'm in the industry. We run our own managed services provider. That's just a fancy term for an IT consulting company. And one of the things that has always been a challenge is trying to communicate an otherwise complicated subject matter to a small business owner. And if you overly complicate it, it makes it difficult for that business owner to make the proper decision on their technology. And as you know today, technology is so important to the success of our business. If you get it wrong, I mean, it's not just inefficiencies, but I mean, you can go out of business, you know, with all the cybersecurity issues. So the challenge had always been that most of the people in the IT world, my peers, were cursed with the gift of knowledge. We know so much about technology and all the techie talk. It's hard for us to bring it down to the level that any business owner could understand. So I developed a technique in a way so that we weren't selling just on logic, right? I mean, you certainly need that there to back up your recommendations, but we present it in such a way where it makes it easier to understand. They can see the value in exchange for what somebody would be paying, and it makes it easier for a small business owner to be able to get that technology in and feel good about it.
You there?
I'm here.
Okay. Sorry about that. Anyway, all right. What's interesting, what you said there was interesting in the sense that you guys have all this, you know, all this knowledge, information. And even though you're selling IT solutions, which is a very technical, a very technical sale, it's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of detailed information there. It still, as we were talking in the earlier segment, it still comes down to that level of trust.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you have to be able to communicate and build the value and trust with a prospect, because if you don't, what happens is you default back on price. And then people, business owners, are just going to pick the cheapest solution that's out there and never really truly understand what they might be giving up. And for us, you know, we wanted to be able to elevate the quality of IT solutions that were out there in the marketplace. And there's certainly no shortage of solutions. I think there's a shortage of IT companies that are good at selling those solutions. And so, you know, that's where we try to bridge that gap.
Gotcha. Let's talk about that. Since you mentioned price, and I think a lot of salespeople talk about price, marketers talk about price. So how do you convince a prospect that, let's say, the cloud is the way to go, even when the price tag might be a little bit higher or much higher in some cases?
Yes, that's a great question. So I think what happens for most salespeople, maybe in the IT industry, it's a little more prevalent, is we have certain solutions and we're determined to sell those solutions. You know, we know that they're good. We've tested them on other prospects. So we're going to sell you that solution no matter what. And we get so fixated that we become a solution that's just looking for a problem. And then we go right to the end and we try to sell it. There's a particular price. We understand the value. Prospect doesn't and might not get that sell. So I'm a bigger proponent now of stepping back and saying, hey, I'm not even going to show you the solution. We're not even going to get to that point until we evaluate what you currently have. And what I truly want to try to help business owners do is understand what they're getting today and what they're paying for it. It's not until you can understand that then we can have that money talk about what our solution is, right? Because, you know, I'll give you an example. If we had a way to score what you got today and you were spending $1,000 a month, which maybe you thought was a lot of money for IT, and I showed you that you scored a 50 out of a 100, right? We could say, well, you know, on a straight line spend, that's like spending $2,000 a month, but you're just getting half of what you need. I mean, you wouldn't buy my solution if I said to you, great news, my solution's, $2,000, but I'm only going to sell it to you for $1,000. Bad news, I'm only gave you half. Will you buy it? You would say no. So I really am a bigger fan of helping you understand where you are today. And then that way, when we show you our solution, if ours is $1,500 a month, which without any context, you're saying, well, that's $500 more than I'm currently spending. But if I frame it in such a way that you can understand that, hey, I'm delivering you everything you need. We're going to get your score to a 100. And it's not 2,000, which is the rate you're spending today. It's 1,500. It makes the sale a little bit easier. And, you know, it makes the person not have that buyer's remorse or buyer's defense towards investing in that technology.
Yeah, I like that. I like the way you're thinking there, too. Let's talk about this. Do you have any tips or strategies, you know, best ways to get prospects thinking about their business needs and not just thinking about the cost or the, you know, of your proposal?
Yeah. So, you know, we come in there and we do some fact finding. You know, the first phase is always, you know, to gather up as much data as we can, right? So it always starts with the business owner. You know, we need to understand what their pain points are. We want to understand how they view technology, what they view is wrong, why we're there in the first place, what we want to improve. Then we do sort of that, you know, we kind of combine that with the technical fact finding, right? So we kind of come in and we gather that information. But I think where we're a little bit different, and you know, this is a tip that we use, is that people buy based on emotion, right? They're not usually moved by fact alone. It's an emotional sale. And so what we do is we force our sales engineers and our salespeople to then take the information and to boil it down into like a summary statement. We take all that tech information, boil it down, and we color code it. And you'd be surprised if you present back that information in a small, succinct summary statement. And the best way I can kind of – this analogy I can give you is if you go to the doctor and he ran some blood work on you, you don't think that you're going to sit down with the doctor and go through 25 pages of lab work, right? You just expect right. that he evaluated all this and he gives you the bottom line, hey, you have high cholesterol. So we try to get – we try to think that way in our industry. So we try to teach – our peers, that's what you should be doing. Interpret all this empirical data, boil it down to a simple summary statement that a business owner can understand, and color code it. You'd be surprised at how quickly, if you're doing the whole red, green, yellow type game, you'd be surprised how quickly people understand, hey, there's not a whole lot of green here, and I'm spending X dollars per month, time for a change. So we like right. to combine the emotion in that sale, and you know, that's probably one of the best sales tips I could give anybody in the IT industry.
Yeah, and I like that because no matter how logical the person appears, how analytical, how Vulcan, how Vulcan-like they are, nobody buys anything without emotion. It's all an emotion. In fact, people who, you know, when you think somebody is, very analytical, and they might be, but they're trying to analyze the risk versus reward. They're trying to feel certain that they're making the best move to buy your product, right? And so it's still an emotional sale. It's all emotion.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we, and you know what? In the IT world, we lose sight of that because it's so technically driven, and you know, we tend to want to prove our points by showing you all the math behind it, and we tend to forget that business owners don't typically think that way. You know, it's an emotional purchase. It's funny, sometimes we show our solution, and there might be a couple red or yellow boxes that represent some areas. You know, maybe we didn't fix everything. Maybe, you know, we were leaving some stuff for a separate phase. It's funny, before we could even get into our solution, they'll say, "What's that red box?" It's almost like they're upset. Like, how dare I propose something and it's not all green, right? But I know that I have them thinking the right way, and then it makes it much easier for me to then show them like why there is a few red or yellow, you know, areas on there, but they're, you know, we can improve upon that and get them to be green.
Yeah, I like that. And I like this whole color-coded thing that you're talking about. I think it's a great way because first of all, colors, again, are a way of using emotional persuasion, right? We all know red is usually not a good color to see on any chart versus green or blue or something like that. So I like that idea. Let's talk about this. Specifically, I want to talk about when it comes to IT professionals, a lot of IT professionals think, you know, the kind of break X mentality. And so my question to you is, you know, how do you get them to think beyond that? I mean, why should they think beyond that?
Yeah, so, you know, the IT industry was kind of born out of that whole break-fix mentality where something's broken, and then, you know, you call the IT guy, he comes in and he fixes it. But it creates an adversarial type of relationship because we're very much on two sides of the table. You think about it, I've got a vested interest in being in your office because I'll get paid. I'm billing you hourly, and you hate to see me there because now you know you're going to get a bill. And so it creates a very strenuous type of relationship, and that's break-fix. If you're really good at what you did and nothing broke, well, then, you know, the IT guy is not going to make any money. So it's a weird dynamic. But it
right.
also makes everything reactionary, right? And that might have worked, 20 years ago when we didn't have, you know, the threats that, you know, the cybersecurity type threats that we face today. Now it's a much different world, and it doesn't make sense to pay as you go and just worry about it if there's a problem. There's a lot of really great solutions that are not that costly that you could put in place that are proactive, right? So we should be doing things to try to head off those problems. And if I could do that and include my support for a fixed fee, you know that, hey, I'm in your office, but I'm not sending you a bill because this was part of our agreement, then it's not one of those, oh, he's here again, I'm going to get a bill. So now we're sitting on the same side of the table, and we kind of become more like a part of your company, right? We're like the IT department. It just happens to be outsourced.
Right.
So we have a vested interest in having things run smoothly and securely and without a lot of headache. Now we all want the same thing. I know I'm doing it on a fixed fee. So I have to be able to run my business profitably, so I can't have IT guys, you know, in the field there every day. And you know you're not going to get a bill above what I, you know, quoted because that's our fixed fee. So we're very much in concert there. And so that's kind of the other side of the IT world, which is where most people are at today, and that's called managed services, hence the name managed service provider.
Yeah, you know what, and to me it makes a lot of sense. I think that if you're going with that managed service provider, that MSP type of mentality, like you said, it gets both players on the same side. Both players want the same thing. You want to, as the business owner, you want to have a fixed cost that you can predict. And as the IT provider, you really want to be as profitable as possible. And you want to be able to have a happy customer without having to spend, like you said, not without having to show up every day.
Yeah, exactly. Our goals are aligned, both customer and service provider. So it's a much more symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, no, I love that. You know, and it goes to show you a lot of times that in today's conversation, it's not always about the price. one of the things that you're buying when you're buying an IT solution is, you, back to the emotional stuff that we were talking about earlier, you're buying peace of mind. So there are cheaper, there's always a cheaper solution, but not necessarily is that the better solution, because we all know that the cheaper you get, especially when you're dealing with IT and some of these other services, sooner or later you lose that peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. We had one client that had actually made a really interesting comment back to me, and it came at a point, you know, a little bit earlier in my career and when I wasn't quite as seasoned as a salesperson. And I went in there, we were they were on a managed services contract, and I think it was about $4,000 per month. And I was coming in there now to try to get them to spend $5,000 a month, a $1,000 increase, because we wanted to introduce some cloud services, which would eliminate some on-premise hardware, and it would greatly increase their business continuity plans. So when I went in there and I said, you know, it's going to be $1,000 more a month, and I was kind of bracing for impact, and he said to me, I don't see how we can afford not to do this. And I said, really? I said, well, tell me why. So he's making the sale for me, but I want to know why so I can use it on the next guy. And he said, well, if you think about it, you're telling me for $5,000 a month, I get all the service, like, you know, the hardware that's in the cloud, the service, the email, and it includes support. I said, absolutely. And he said, I can't hire an IT professional for $5,000 a month. And if I did, I would have to manage him. I have to give him a couple weeks off. I have to, you know, deal with him taking sick days. And even if he was a perfect employee, he would still come to me with a whole list of stuff I had to buy. So that
right.
$50,000 would just get me a low-level IT guy who's in to tell me I have to spend another $50,000 on all this other hardware and stuff. He's like, you're telling me I get this, the whole package, and I don't have to manage the person, and you take care of it. And it's not just one person, but your whole company's behind it. I said, absolutely. So we made that sale, and now I kind of use that in my, you know, in selling. I try to make that analogy, and it works. You know, if you're considering the alternatives here of hiring a person, you could never get what you could in terms of total service from a managed services provider.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great analogy, because, again, we could do it cheaper, but now you got this IT guy, and you're responsible for buying all the supplies, and you're also responsible for maintaining those supplies, and you're also responsible for replacing them when they wear out or go bad, which, and, you know, they eventually will.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you pay $60,000, you get this IT guy who maybe for $60,000, you know, that might make him happy for a year, but after that, he's probably going to want a raise. You know, he's going to want
Absolutely.
More time off. You know, it's all that other stuff. So I love the way this MSP is set up. I think it's a great program. You know, Frank, I've enjoyed our time together today talking about, you know, how to sell, and the fact that all our sales are emotionally based, and they're not all always about the money. It's really about the emotions that you can invoke in your client. And one of those emotions obviously being trust, another one being peace of mind. So it's been a lot of fun, Frank, and looking forward to have you back another time.
Yeah, I'd love to come back. Thanks so much for having me today.
You bet. Good stuff there from Frank M. DiBenedetto. You know, today's show, just interestingly enough, was about selling. A whole, you know, the entire program today was about selling, about prospecting, how important prospecting is. And then with Frank, you know, we talked about the emotional side of selling, that no matter how logical you think your prospect is, when you peel all the layers of logic, it's bound to an emotion. Trust is an emotion. Peace of mind is an emotion. Even logic is an emotion. It's the emotion of certainty, right? All right. Listen, always good to have you guys here. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.